Welcome to the Easy EdTech Podcast with your host, Dr. Monica Burns.
Hello there, and welcome to today's episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast. If we haven't met before, my name is Monica Burns. I'm a former New York City public school teacher, and I've been out of the classroom for a few years, leading professional development for educators and writing about all things EdTech on my blog, classtechtips.com. Before we jump into today's episode, a quick reminder, you can head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast for all of the show notes and resources from today's episode. And if you're listening to this episode on a podcast player like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts, you should see a link in the description that you can click on as you listen today, and it'll take you to all of the resources I mentioned. Also, for those of you who have ordered a copy of my new book, EdTech Essentials, the Top 10 Technology Strategies for All Learning Environments, a big thank you. There are over a dozen five-star reviews on Amazon already, but because there were some big shipping delays for my publisher, ASCD, I have extended the book bonus through the end of October. So just check out the podcast description or go to classtechtips.com/books for more details. This episode is sponsored by Tech, and I'm so excited to partner with them for a webinar series this fall. It's totally free, and you can join one or all four of these webinars covering EdTech topics like creation in the classroom, assessment tips, and more. Register for the event or sign up to view the replays on their website. Just go to otispd.com. Click on Upcoming Events, and you'll find four free webinars you can join. That's otispd.com. You can also send me a DM on Instagram, and I'll make sure to get you the link. This week's podcast episode is titled, Five Tips for Picking the Best Resources for Your Students, an EdTech Essentials Spotlight. And it's inspired by chapter 2 of my new book, EdTech Essentials, the Top 10 Technology Strategies for All Learning Environments. If you caught episode 129 from last month, so that was in September, of course, you can always just scroll back wherever you're listening to podcasts and you'll find that one. It was called How to Help Students Better Navigate Digital Spaces. And for that one, navigate was the keyword there, and it included an excerpt from chapter 1 of the book. Now, today's focus, it's around this idea of curate, which is essential number 2 in the book and the focus of chapter 2. Now, today's episode isn't an excerpt from the book. It's kind of a spin on some of the topics that I cover. And today, I want to share with you a few tips, 5 to be precise, about curation in the classroom. And I unpack that big term curation in the book and talk about curating as an opportunity to handpick resources. And in this case, right, our curation in the classroom is really around how to pick the best resources for your students. So let's go ahead and dive into today's episode together with these 5 tips. So the first tip on our list for picking the best resources for your students is to choose content that extends a lesson. Now, you might choose content that provides background knowledge for students, but curation of content can also include selecting items that go beyond or extend a lesson. So as you're thinking through what might fall into this category of resources that extend a lesson, you might ask yourself questions like, what areas may you not get a chance to cover in your traditional lesson? Or what cross-curricular connections would you like students to see? What content can students explore after a unit or lesson is finished? Now, this idea of choosing content to extend a lesson might feel a little bit like these are the leftover things, or these are the things that I ran out of time to do that I wanted to do, and that might be a component of it, but it really is an opportunity to reflect on what kids were really jumping up at, you know, really excited about during a particular unit, what you realize later on might have been a great cross-curricular connection, but you weren't able to dive into. So this is an opportunity to give kids a chance to go beyond. So you might allocate time for some of these exploration of resources. So for example, if you are teaching all about ecosystems and you're really focused on coral reefs as an example, but you know kids are interested in a different part of the world, you might give an opportunity for them to explore some more things, right, around that same topic, but just looking at different examples. So these could be things that you're not necessarily covering specifically or using as your primary examples, but content that extends a lesson. So number one on the list is choosing content that takes it beyond to extend a lesson. Number two is to take student interest into consideration. I don't know about you, but as a classroom teacher, there were several years when I taught the same unit more than once, right? So last year I taught this unit, and now I'm teaching it again, and maybe I will the next year. And so sometimes because of just how much time is in the day, or we know something worked really well last year, we lean into what we've done in the past or what has felt really strong. But there is an opportunity to take student interest into consideration. And we know that that changes and evolves over the course of a year itself, but also year to year. So one of the first things you might consider when choosing resources to share with students is that connection between the content and the learning goals. But student interest in materials is also an important consideration. So you might ask yourself questions like, what did students show an interest in during the unit before this one or the lesson that we did this morning? What additional video clips or podcast episodes would grab their attention? Or what subtopics can you gather resources on to help students dive deeper? Now, if you're a member of my Easy EdTech Club, my membership site, we did a whole September masterclass around actionable interest surveys, right? So you might do something where you have different interest surveys over the course of the year and you want to use that information you gather to then choose some resources connected to the unit. If you're not a member of the Easy Ed Tech Club and you do want to learn a little bit more about that, feel free to just send a message my way and I'll get you some info. But I know some listeners are in that group, so I wanted to make that connection. So for number two on the list, it's about taking student interest into consideration when you're picking resources for your students. You might start first with that idea of the content connection to the learning goal. But if it's the middle of the Olympics when you are teaching a unit and you know that kids are going to be a little bit more interested in topics that are connected to a big event like that, well, you might take that into consideration when you are choosing resources. Number three is to examine representation in the resources you choose. It's so important that the resources you choose represent and connect with students. You really want to make sure that students can see themselves in the resources shared with the class. Now, this can look different in different environments, but this might even include something like choosing math tutorials that are filmed by a diverse set of creators or with someone who's on screen that students could see themselves as or voices that sound like theirs. It could also include short texts that you choose in an English language arts classroom to show off a concept that really highlights different life experiences in that piece of writing. So it's really an opportunity to say, are we always hearing the same voices when I choose a podcast episode? Are we always looking at short texts that have a similar, say, life experience as we're examining a personal narrative text structure? So examining representation in resources is something to kind of have front of mind when you're picking and choosing the very best things to give your students. Number four on our list of five today of picking the best tips for picking the best resources for your students is to have a plan for organizing content. Now, once you select the very best resources to share with your students, maybe you found a great explainer video that's going to extend a lesson from TED Ed, or you found a wonderful math tutorial with just great visuals that students can review. So you might have found these great things, but it's important to have a plan for creating collections or keeping track of content you'd like to share. Now, there are a few great tools for making this happen, and you might have some favorites of your own. I love Wakelet for making collections. Spark Page or Google Sites would let you build out a web page where you can make a collection of resources for students to click on. And if you use a tool like Wakelet, a total favorite, there's a great conversation I had with Rachel Kotha, I guess last year. Let me see here. It is episode number 98. So gosh, fast math for me, about 30 or so episodes ago, almost 40 episodes ago. And we talk about Wakelet specifically in that episode and some of the things she does with that tool. So if you're interested in Wakelet or you're like, Monica, I use Wakelet all the time already, then that's one that I would say take a listen to. Anyhow, she gives some great gems. And of course, there's lots of tools to make collections. I'm a big fan of Wakelet for organizing content. And Tisha Poncio, if you follow along with her on Instagram, if you've listened to any of my Clubhouse rooms, that should be a familiar name because we sometimes are on Clubhouse together. She is a great person to follow. Her Instagram is just wonderful. And she is part of the Wakelet team now. So number four on the list is to have a plan for organizing content. Number three was to examine representation in resources. Number two, take student interest into consideration. And the first one we started off with was to choose content that extends a lesson. But this episode is titled Five Tips for Picking the Best Resources. So let's jump to number five. Decide how to best distribute content. So you found something great. You put it into a collection. It's representative of your students. Now you need to get it into their hands. So decide how to best distribute content. And if you've joined me on a webinar this year, or you listened to the very first episode I did of the podcast in the year 2021, so in January, 9 months or so, almost 10 months or so ago, I use that phrase, embrace your place, a few times. It's one I come back to a lot. And this idea of embracing your place is really about getting content into the hands of students in the place you already use. So when it comes to deciding on the best way to get content in the hands of students, using your learning management system or LMS or a familiar platform is always a great place to start. So for example, if you use Microsoft Teams, maybe that's your go-to spot, then you can share resources that you found in a Teams assignment that you post and you say, go look at this here, right? So use your place that you are most familiar with. Maybe it's been chosen for you. Maybe it's not your favorite one, but using that space to distribute content is a great way to keep kids in one area. And so they know where to go to find those very best resources you carved out time to pick for them. So let's finish up this episode like we always do with some tips for making this EdTech easy. First, extend a lesson, maybe with a multimedia resource. Next, honor student interest when picking resources. Then, examine representation in what you choose. Finally, organize and distribute those resources. Remember, you can find the show notes for this episode with all of the resources and tools I mentioned today by heading to classtechtips.com/podcast and finding today's episode number 132. You'll also see a spot in the description area. So like if you're on Spotify or Apple Podcasts today and you expand the description with all the notes, you'll see a link that says show notes page. It usually has the number, so like 132 in the URL there, and you'll be able to find it there. A big thank you to our sponsor for this episode, Tech. I'm so excited to partner with them for a webinar series this fall. It's totally free, and you can join one or all four of these webinars covering EdTech topics like creation in the classroom, assessment tips, and more. Register for the event or sign up to view the replays on their website. Just go to otispd.com, click on upcoming events, and you'll find four free webinars you can join. That's otispd.com. You can also send me a DM on Instagram and I'll make sure to get you the link. If you are listening to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or another favorite app, don't forget to hit the follow button. When you follow along with the podcast, each new episode will download for you automatically so you don't miss a thing. And if you have a moment and are feeling extra helpful today, please leave a rating or review for the podcast. It helps other educators find this podcast when they're searching for topics like EdTech or teaching in their podcast app. And this month of September, I have a few special bonus items for anyone who grabs a copy of my new book, EdTech Essentials. Already have your copy? Send me a message on Instagram or Twitter. At Class Tech Tips is where you'll find me, or go straight to classtechtips.com/book-bonus to request your bonus items. Have a great week and check back on Tuesday morning for next week's new episode.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Easy EdTech Podcast wherever you're listening.